Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. Wow, we're on an adventure with God, aren't we? We are. Sit down. Exciting days. Don't you get that sense that God is rallying the troops?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Which is exciting. It's an exciting journey to be on. I just want to just briefly recap the last couple of weeks, the season that we seem to be in where God has been speaking about. We know he's been getting us in the Word. We know God has been getting us to pray. And the Word through Pastor Clive a couple of weeks ago was very much on us. God is positioning us in certain gates, like we've just heard about Roger. He's in the business gate. That's where he stands. That's where he is. That's where he brings his authority, his anointing, what God has given him. Yes. And each one of us have a different position that God has given us or wants to give you, place you where he wants to use you and your prayers and your influence. So a couple of weeks ago, Clive was speaking about us praying and standing in the gates, but we were doing a very a geographical praying in the gates of Horsham a few weeks ago. Did anybody come on that, where we've walked the streets of this town? It was a powerful time. I encourage you to come next time we do it. Very powerful. One of the scriptures that Clive gave us before we went and did that is about being watchful and vigilant, alert and intent, with thanksgiving in your prayers, and pray that God opens a door for the word of the gospel to be preached. Okay, so our position, our authority is to pray where God puts us, to see his kingdom come, his will being done on earth. Yeah. We stop the enemy and we release the kingdom of, of heaven, yeah? Amen.
Yeah.
I've got a great verse here from Proverbs 11 that says, "The blessing that rests on the righteous releases strength and favor to the entire city."
Right,
come on.
Great.
The blessing of favor resting upon the righteous influences a city to lift it higher.
Yeah.
That's who we are. That's what we can see happen around our lives. You believe it?
Yeah.
He was speaking about this vision of the gates, in the gates when we pray, of like these fires breaking out.
Yeah.
But then protecting this wall of fire, protecting our town and our community. That fire is to cleanse. It's to, when we pray, we're cleansing the land of demonic activity, negativity, you know, whatever the enemy wants to throw, and we speak in life. During that prayer night, many of us were walking out. Pastor Colin was here praying, and he spoke last week about what God spoke to him that night. He was praying for our church and the gate of our church. And so last week, he was speaking about, from Proverbs, about shutting the door on the enemy in our own hearts and lives, and about dealing with the things that God hates, that we allow to go on in our lives. And some of those things were mainly our attitudes towards one another, about not about blessing one another and not character assassinating one another. Does that make sense? About not sowing discord. God hates it when brothers sow discord amongst brother. He wants unity and love. No gossip. And all that very practical stuff. If you didn't hear it, I encourage you to listen to it because it was bang on. You may have read that passage because it was from that day's, you know, that week we were reading, thinking, I don't know, is that really, I really do that kind of thing. I don't think I live like that. But when he unpacked it, I think we're all like going, oh, yeah. Well, I was anyway. But we have to just take ownership of our own hearts, our own attitudes, shut the door in any way the enemy wants to use us so we can be a blessing to one another, yeah? So last week I was reading, the week before, during that time, I was reading in Genesis 4. Let's just quickly look there. And this is the story of Cain and Abel. And in Genesis 4, verse 2, so Adam and Eve have had their two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. But Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. "Why are you so angry?" said the Lord. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." One day, Cain suggested to his brother, "Let's go out into the fields." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother? Where is Abel?" "I don't know," Cain responded. "Am I my brother's keeper?" When I read that, the Lord just asked me a question. He just seems to do that these days. I'm reading something and then he just, bang, just asked me a question. He said, "Are you your brother's keeper?" And so that question has been with me for a while now. God just wanted to do something on a deeper level with me, but also, I believe, with us. What's interesting here is they're brothers, but one became jealous of the other. Became jealous of him, of his relationship with the Lord, the fact that he was blessed. But Abel had given his best to the Lord, and that's why. There's jealousy and anger. And in Cain's response to the Lord, there's complete indifference to his brother, and he lies. He had taken no responsibility whatsoever, and basically was saying, "What's it got to do with me?" Have you ever asked that question? Ever hear about something going on with somebody and think, or say, "What's that got to do with me? Nothing to do with me." Do I care? Interestingly, this morning in the prayer meeting, one of the scriptures from today that was read out, Proverbs 14, verse 30, says a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So that could be in personally, in you, but also in this body. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like a cancer in the bones. And it's just being honest of our own hearts and minds and how they work. And just getting before God and saying, "Father, do you know what? I am like this at times. I have been like this at times. Forgive me." And that's all we need to do. But then not do it anymore is the next bit. Paul warned in Galatians 5:15 of believers biting and devouring one another, leading to consuming one another. He instructed people to walk by the Spirit and not in the flesh. And last week we were saying no to the flesh, weren't we? Shutting the door on that, on those attitudes, on that way of thinking about one another, and just, yeah, allowing God to move by His Spirit and move amongst us in a deeper way, because that's what God wants to do. So am I my brother's keeper? Can you ask yourself that? Out loud now. Say, am I my brother's keeper? A keeper means a protector or a guardian. It's to observe. It's to watch. And a keeper has responsibility, okay? So as I read, the day before I read that, we were out on this prayer walk around Horsham. And I was down at Leamington Way, right down there. So if you did the over the Little Haven Railway crossing, going out down the Rusper Road, and as you get to the bottom, the roundabout at the bottom, that's the gate that I was praying in with a bunch of others. Right on the corner of Leamington, there's a gate in the hedge. And I was with another lady, and she lives near there. And I said to her, "What's through that gate?" And she says, "I think there's a ruined castle there." And I was really surprised, because I used to live around there and I had no idea. Anyway, so we walked in through this gate, and you're walking over all these mounds, and there's a ruin underneath. And there's, so underneath all these mounds was a Motte and Bailey, but they had a castle with a moat around it. And the moat's still there, the river's still there, and you can walk around, and it's just a great place to be and a great place to go and pray. And it's 900-year-old, this thing. And so within it would have been, on the mound in the middle would have been the keep. And that's the most protected part. And I'd been there praying that night. And the next morning I read this, you know, about being a brother's keeper. And the Lord started speaking to me about this because a keep was the strongest part of the tower. You'd have the outside walls, and in the middle was the strongest bit that you would go. If all else failed, you'd go right into that, and that's where you were protected. It's a strong fortress that, and a tower of refuge, okay? So anyway, with these two things going on, to keep is to keep guard, okay? It's to watch, we've heard that. It's to take charge of, to be a watchman, to protect, to save life and be a refuge. And the Lord, so the Lord was speaking to me about the reality of that for us as a body, how that works. So I'm in a small group, and which I love, and we live this. We have to live this practically. Okay, so I just want to do a quick demonstration. So, Katie, can you just hop up here? Suki, Anne, brilliant, and Jugbeer. Are you here? Jugbeer, yeah, great. Can you do us a quick favour? Good. Come and stand over here. Come and stand over there. Just, you don't have to say anything. It's okay. Yeah, that I know of. Who knows? So we are. This is two of my groups that I'm in, and we're on WhatsApp. So we, you know, it's amusing. I've got two different WhatsApp groups going on. Who has lots of different WhatsApp groups going on at the same time? Do you ever get confused and send the wrong thing to the wrong person? Yeah, we have a lot of that going on. What we do is, if someone has a need, okay, if someone has or something needs celebrating, or somebody is sick, what we do is, Suki, can you stand there in the middle? Great. And Jugby, can you stand here? And I want you to face outward like that. Okay, Anne, can you stand at the front?
Facing that way?
Yeah, facing that way. Katie, can you stand here? Yeah, I'll tell you what. So this is what we do when someone in our group messages they have a need, okay? So say it's Suki, she has a need. We gather around her in the spirit and we pray, okay? Just as a keep, as in a castle, she is in now a protected place. We're all in a protected place because we all do it for one another at different points. But say Suki has the need, we are here. Okay, you stand facing that way, and I'll be at the back as well, and we are praying. And we are using our shields, we are using our swords, and we are, this is real, because we all have real needs, don't we? So say another time, it's Katie, so you two swap places. We do the same thing. We stand guard for one another. We watch out for one another. We will pray for one another. We'll use the word of God. We encourage one another. In this place, we have a good laugh. Do you know it's good to laugh? Who do you laugh with? Who are you silly with? I can be with Clive, but I tend to be more so with these guys. But do you know what? You know, laughter is a medicine. And sometimes we just don't laugh, do we? We're just so serious. We just take life too seriously or whatever, or take ourselves seriously, I don't know. But this is where we encourage one another. This is a safe place, where we are behind one another's backs in the right way. We do not stab one another in the back. We don't speak words about one another that would stab one another in the back. We fight for one another. We honour one another. We celebrate one another's. We celebrate the good stuff. We encourage. There was a verse I sent the other day that was, I can't remember what it is now. Oh, this one. A life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore joy to the heart. Lovers of God give good advice to their friends. So this is what we're doing all the time. This is like body life for us. This is where it's worked out. And I know for many of you, in your small group, this is what it is. This is what happens. There's a reality to it. If someone has a need, we know about that need and we can do something about it if they'll share it, okay? And that's the whole reason. Great, thanks, guys. That's it. Thank you very much. This, as you can see, is a puzzle piece, okay? This puzzle piece on its own doesn't make up a full picture, does it? Okay? And neither does a puzzle if there's a piece missing. So I think we have a little thing here just to show you. Yeah, there you go. A whole puzzle and one little bit missing is incomplete. Have you ever done a puzzle and a bit's been missing? It's really annoying, isn't it? Because a puzzle with a piece missing is totally useless. Unless, I mean, that does fall short because there's no picture on it, so it wouldn't be, it doesn't really. This is the missing bit. On our own, we don't do well. We are meant to be connected to one another. In Ephesians 4, it talks about God makes the whole body fit perfectly together. Okay? As each part does its work, it helps the other parts to grow so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And if you decide you don't want to be a part of the body and you want to keep yourself to yourself and I'm all right by my own, thank you very much, you're not. Because you can't do, you need to be connected to do life well, to have prayer support, to have covering, to share your whatever. Have a laugh. Living our life in Christ means we need the body of Christ. We don't just attend on a Sunday, but we're living in the body of Christ. In that place, we can build up and inspire. In that place, we can know one another's needs and meet them. Otherwise, we don't know your needs. We celebrate. We're honest. We challenge one another. Healing comes. Restoration comes. Release comes. It says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. If someone falls on their own, they're in trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. It said, Romans 15 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak, not just to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up, for even Christ did not please himself. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. But it takes courage and a vulnerability to do that. What that little demonstration. It takes courage and vulnerability to say, yes, I'm going to go for this. I want to belong to a group of people where I do life with them, where I am real and where I'm honest and where we can help each other. Because deep down, we ask ourselves this question, okay, listen to this. Are conditions safe and secure so I can grow into my fullest potential? Or are conditions threatening, dangerous and insecure so that I must protect myself and limit my potential and instead extend my energy to defending myself? Does that make sense? This, with these women, is a safe place. It's a safe place. And here, I can reach my potential. We can't reach our potential on our own. The body of Christ is about us reaching our full potential with one another in a safe place, in relationships, where we are not spending our energy defending ourselves, but defending one another. That's what love is in the body of Christ. That's what being our brother's keeper is all about. The enemy fights hard to get us unplugged and disconnected from others. He pulls out all of his devices to keep us developing our relationship, to keep us from developing our relationships and being our brother's keeper. He will use offence and discord to separate us. That's why we need to be on our guard. Because he knows what we can do when we're one accord. He knows how powerful we are when we stand together and fight him off. If we choose to live life by ourselves, not connected with the local church family, life ends up being much harder than it was supposed to be. And in the message, Ephesians 6:18, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I just believe we're in days where this is really, really important in the body of Christ. When the Bible talks about in the end days, when the love of many will grow cold, this is the place with one another where that we don't allow that to happen. Amen. Where we can watch one another, when we are aware of where one another is struggling, that we don't their love cannot grow cold because none of us is going to allow it. Because we're fighting for one another. Does that make sense? Yeah. And we're in days where we need to be on our guard, where we need to be plugged into one another. Do you agree? Yes. Paul wasn't afraid to make his needs known. He'd say, "Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit." He would often make his needs known and say, "Pray for me, pray for us," all through the New Testament. "Pray for me, brothers, pray for your brothers, pray for us." We're called to pray for our family members. We're called to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're called to pray for our town. We're called to be watchmen on our town. We're called to pray for our leaders in our nations. In Timothy, it says, "First of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." That we can start with the one next to us, can't we? Yeah. That's the place to start. And ask ourselves, am I my brother's keeper? Because that's what he wants us to be. Not just in prayer, but in all aspects of life that come up, that we can be there for one another. We can love one another and serve one another. One of the areas that we need to also carry God's heart for, and we're talking about the guy coming from Israel next year. God has given us, as this church, a heart for Israel, a heart to pray for Israel, heart for the Jewish people. And I know many of you here pray for the Jewish people. In Isaiah 62, it says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves." We have that as a church, that heart to pray and to go and to be available to however God wants to use us.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.